be heavy.
I like heavy stuff.
I'm into that heavy stuff.
It's gotta be heavy.
The heavy sound, heavy beat.
Rebel 101.7 presents the Heavy in Ottawa podcast with Laura Collins and James Reed.
Welcome to our first Heavy in Ottawa podcast. My name is Laura Collins.
And I'm James Reed.
We will be talking about the Tyler Hay Memorial and Benefit Show today, as well as we will be talking to Dubay, local Ottawa sesh rock band. We will be looking into some upcoming shows and upcoming releases with James. So first of all, I wanted to talk a little bit about the event that went on Sunday for a local musician, Tyler Hay, from metalcore band Southpaw. You were one of the masterminds behind the event that happened on Sunday. It was great. I was there. There were almost 500 people in attendance. Around $7,000 was raised. Almost 400 naloxone kits were distributed to all the attendees. Where did this idea come from in the first place that you wanted this event to happen?
I mean, when I first found out about the news, first thought that came to my mind was I want to help out. I know that with stuff that happens with deaths, untimely deaths specifically, especially with young people, there is all of these unexpected expenses to do with funerals and everything else. So I reached out to Southpaw and said, I want to book you guys a show in my basement if you guys are down. We'll put all the money towards or helping to cover the funeral expenses. And they got back to me and they're like, absolutely, these are the bands that we want to have on. So I contacted all the bands and some of them actually had shows booked. Some of them were supposed to be on tour and they were all like, we're canceling everything. We're going to play this show. So that was really cool.
So you actually, in your head, you were like, okay, I'm going to do this show in my basement. You were expecting maybe 40, 50 people or something like that.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be well attended, maybe around 100, but certainly not what it turned into at all. We announced the show and within a few hours, there was over 500 people that were either going or interested in going on the Facebook page. And at that point, my roommates and myself were kind of like, oh shit, what are we going to do? This is going to literally destroy our house. We can't do it here. So I contacted Sean at Spectrasonic and said, help, basically. And so we went back and forth and we decided that the best place to put it at was going to be the Bronson Center. Ottawa Inner City Health, who was supposed to be involved in an unofficial capacity at the house, was now going to get involved in an official capacity. They were going to bring out all the naloxone kits. But then with it being at the Bronson Center, suddenly we had all of these expenses to cover. So I did not want any of the ticket money to be going towards expenses. I wanted all of that to go towards Tyler's family. So I started hitting up local businesses, talked to you guys here at Rebel, talked to Spectrasonic already, Ottawa Inner City Health, got their pharmacy that they deal with, PharmaSave Respect RX involved, St. John's Music,
Blue Blood Tattoo.
Yeah, Blue Bloods, YC Drum Company, Ottawa Special Events.
Bose, I think, was involved
Bose
as well.
Bose as well, the Coven. There was over 10, even local counselors were involved. We had over 10 businesses or organizations involved in helping out. And it was just amazing to see no matter what I needed, whoever I hit up, they were all like, yeah, whatever you need, we'll do whatever we can. So we got all the costs and then some covered.
And there was also a GoFundMe page that was posted.
Yeah.
And that raised what I believe was over $7,000.
Yeah, that was about 8,300 last I checked was raised from that. So all in all, I'd say all the costs got covered for his funeral, which is amazing. Like you said, we had over 500 people in attendance. Ottawa Inner City Health did their educational segment, which to me was the most important part of the night, where they showed everybody how to properly use the naloxone and Narcan kits, how to identify an overdose, how to deal with an overdose, and how to use safely or how to get help if you can't stop using if you're an addict. Mm-hmm. All super important stuff. Because to me, like the war on drugs mentality is, I mean, anybody that can read a history book can see that that does not work. So the harm reduction and preventative measures are a much, much better way to go. And that was the whole point, was to help raise money for Tyler's family, but also to make sure this never happens again. And I really hope that we made a difference in actually accomplishing that.
Mm-hmm. And I find this was an amazing display of Ottawa music community coming together for a sad occasion. I hope we can still have the feeling of togetherness in a happier occasion in the future. When I was there, what I saw was people actually being present. There were no cell phones. People were listening. They were actually in the moment.
Yeah.
Tyler's family was there, you had mentioned.
Yeah,
and,
yeah there were
friends.
Tons of family was there. And yeah, pretty much everybody I know in the Ottawa music community was there. And I don't know exactly how much people donated overall, but I know a lot of people were donating, like, because it was pay what you can at the door. And a lot of people were paying like 20 up to 100, maybe even more at the door. So like people were very, very generous, which was amazing to see. And yeah, just no bullshit, no drama, nothing. Like people knew,
people
knew why they were there, and they were there to be together, and they were together.
Right.
And everybody had a good time. Cody sang his song Needle in a Haystack. And there wasn't a dry eye in the room. You could hear in between. It's a very dynamically diverse song, and you could hear in the quieter portions just sniffling everywhere, which is sad but very beautiful at the same time. All the bands got up on stage and sang it with him, and there was just a chorus of voices. It was quite something.
Right. There is a photo gallery on our website from the event under Tyler Hay Memorial Benefit Show. And I think we should listen to a song from Southpaw, which is Tyler's band. Which song are we listening to?
This is going to be Languish.
Southpaw and Languish. Next, here's James with our spotlight band, Dubé.
Heavy in Ottawa Spotlight.
So this week's episode, we've got as our spotlight, Dubé. If y'all want to just go ahead and introduce yourselves.
My name's Jig.
My name's Liam.
And I'm Quinn.
And what's everybody play? And how old are you?
Well, I play bass and I'm 20 years old. I also do lead vocals because none of these guys are capable of doing it.
I play guitar and I'm 21.
And I play drums and I'm 18.
Right on. So how old were you guys all when you first started playing your instruments?
None of us really know the actual age, but we were pretty young. When we first started like learning Neil Young covers and AC/DC, it was like...
I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah, Quinn was 7. So that was in 2000 and I would say 2008 is when we really started.
Damn, okay.
Kind of playing. And together a bit more, 2010 is when we started taking ourselves seriously, did some serious busking outside Blues Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
And learned every cover we could possibly learn under the sun, which taught us everything that we know about rock music today. And then since then, we've been able to write our own stuff, and we've been enjoying it ever since for about 5 years now.
It's awesome. So you guys started playing and playing together then pretty much all at the same time, is that right?
Yeah. About, yeah, yeah. At first there was like a little bit of natural competition as to who was going to play what, who wanted to play what. It wasn't really,
yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like, let's start a band, you're playing this instrument, you're playing this instrument. It's kind of like everyone eventually got into instruments.
Yeah.
I wanted to play guitar. I wasn't playing real guitar, I was playing bass, which I soon
basically
found out.
Basically he sucked is what he's saying.
I sucked at guitar. So I made up in vocals, and quite frankly, I totally made up in vocals. And Liam wanted to play drums at first, and Quinn just had a natural rhythm, so Quinn kicked Liam off the kit. Liam ended up coming to kick me off the guitar, and then I became the voice of the band.
Right on. So it was basically just whoever didn't suck got to play that
exactly.
instrument.
Exactly. And yeah. It kind of worked out nicely because... We all love our instruments now.
Yeah.
We've grown to appreciate it a lot more than anyone naturally would. So we're super happy, happier than pigs and shit.
I have one question. You had mentioned earlier something about you were busking outside the Blues Fest. Wasn't there a longer story on this? James mentions that there was an actual story behind it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, we did a couple of years of busking. At first, it was kind of like set up Cube Street battery-powered amplifiers on the streets, and it's kind of like play as loud as you can the songs that we knew, Enter Sandman, Twist and Shout and whatnot. And eventually, you know, it got to the point where we're like, we're actually doing good with this because people are leaving the festival, they're all wasted, they just saw an awesome concert, and they're walking down the street to the bus stops, and they see these three super young kids playing like Zeppelin covers, Beatles, Floyd, and it's like, whoa, people were going crazy, they were all wasted. It was awesome for us because that means we made a good amount of money. So we started doing some fundraising through that, and as we were doing fundraising for Haitian orphans, we were busking outside the Arcade Fire show that they were headlining at Blues Fest. And at some random point through our set, we were playing Twist and Shout, and the crowd kind of like, we had a big crowd on the street, and it kind of started separating a little bit, and there was movement, and the next thing you know, there was these sweaty, crazy people on stage who were singing with us.
On stage, meaning the sidewalk.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Although, to be fair, Blues Fest officially recognized the sidewalk as the sidewalk stage that year, which was awesome.
That's cool.
But we found out that the guys, these crazy guys, were the members of Arcade Fire, who had just finished their set. They were getting off, and they saw us across the street from backstage, so they all ran out and came and sang with us. And then they found out that we found out the day after they were raising money for the same causes that we were.
We found out the day after that it was Arcade Fire because we had no idea. We thought it was just people that were just way too just drunk.
Yeah.
Just wanted to sing songs because like that happens every night.
Yeah, for sure.
Or just like someone like comes and grabs the mic from you.
Yeah, or someone's just like, you know, they'll be talking to you after the show so wasted that they'll just be telling you about how they're trying to get their kid to learn guitar. It's like, how do I get my kid to learn guitar? And it's just like,
just give him
a guitar. I'm trying to tear down my fucking shit over here, dude. You could just kind of like hope that he enjoys playing guitar, and then eventually you go, you know, we'd really love to talk about that. Liam would love to talk to you about
just pawn it off on the next
guy.
Absolutely.
It's called Pass the Drunk.
Amazing. Know that game pretty well.
It's a tour game.
Yeah. So I've heard a few references here with Zeppelin, Neil Young, the Beatles. What would you guys say was your biggest musical influence, though?
That's early, I would say. I'd say currently.
Man.
Yeah, I'd say currently it's like Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, we've been big into Queens of the Stone Age lately. We've been listening to a lot of hip-hop, but, I mean, if we had to pick one artist that has influenced us the most for our current sound in our current band, I would have to say Queens of the Stone Age. We're just diehard. We're huge fans of the composition, the tones, the production, the consistency of the releases in terms of like how their sound evolved. We're just super pleased with everything those guys have done, and I really like how they kind of have something that they can offer to like all types of people. You know, they have groove, they have heavy riffs, you know, so
moshing.
It's kind of like something for the guys, something for the girls, in a really interesting way that kind of makes people groove and just totally rock the fuck out at their shows. And that's like, that's you know, that to me is something so smart, because it's like, obviously they're being true to themselves and their music. At the same time, they're thinking about the fans, you know, and they're thinking about like, you know, how do we make people want to move at our shows? And I've heard Josh Homme talk about it.
Yeah.
He's got like all of these philosophies when it comes to music, and he's got these different styles that he likes to songwrite in, and like these themes tend to revolve around sex, and then he's got like
a strong one for them.
Yeah, he's got like sex, and then he's got like a darker one.
Yeah,
he's like, I like being serious on certain occasions and talking about his life as a parent, and so he learns all kinds of stuff as a parent. It's awesome.
At this point, I think we should listen a song. We have a song called Stoned Love from you guys. What would you like to tell us about the song?
It's a song that it's pretty much a song about what every kid goes through in at the end of or the second half of high school.
Yeah, I'd say grade 11, 12.
It's just a song about hanging out with your friends, experimenting with life, and getting used to being free, essentially, which is like the transition from, you know, being at home to being in the world.
Right. Awesome. So this is Dubé and Stoned Love.
Rolled it, packed it up and put it in the wallet. Called her, told her my parents were at the cottage. She got it, put a canvas on her feet and made it to my door, which happened to already be in love. She pushed it open, walking through the house and down the stairs into the basement. Now the party's moving. I'm free. I don't want it to die. It's all free.
Alright, so I know you guys are good friends with Cleo Patrick and Ready the Prince.
Yeah.
I've seen, actually, did you guys play that show with Pup?
Yeah, we did. Yeah?
Yeah, I bet that was blast.
In Luke's basement.
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of posting about the New Rock Mafia. Mm-hmm. What do you guys want to tell me about that?
The New Rock Mafia is, I mean, we tried to the best we can to make it a self-described thing, but it's basically what we feel is a fresh series of bands that are truly representing what we feel is represents the core values of rock music.
And it's honest, and
it's like, very honest. It's very it's young and it's fresh, and it's got, to us, it's like it's basically our way of separating ourselves from all of the bands out there who are, you know, because it's so easy to do something that people have already done, and that's to us is like a pop way of doing something.
Yeah, it's easy to fall into that cookie cutter.
And so it's kind of like we find it more difficult to, like, you can't just say you're a rock band anymore, you know?
No.
And that be like, oh, these guys are fresh and these guys are legit. You have to be more specific.
Yeah.
And you have to show that. And that's a frustration that we all felt. And when we met the guys from Cleo and Ready the Prince and we found out that we had that in common, it was like, guys, let's do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
New Rock Mafia is what came out
killer.
To be that. It was a lot of fun putting that project together, man. Yeah.
So is there like any plans for it in the future, or you guys going to be doing some more touring
cool thing
together?
The New Rock Mafia is that there are no plans. Everything happens spontaneously.
It's literally a group chat.
And it's, absolutely.
It's a brainstorming group chat.
But if a plan somehow magically evolves, I'm sure someone will hear about it somehow.
Awesome.
It might be a little secretive, but someone will hear about it.
You'll let me know. All right, so what are your plans coming up for the future? Records, tours, writing, what's up?
Lots of writing. We're enjoying writing, demoing as much as we can. We're going to be doing some recording shortly to get an EP together if we can.
Right on.
I mean, we've been trying to do that for...
Since 2008.
And then other than that, we've got some shows lined up. We have an A show lined up in...
Festival
Day. It's not my job to know that stuff. But
did you say, was it Maine?
It was Maine.
Yeah, we have one in Maine, which is July.
July.
And then we should have some stuff coming up in Ottawa.
Okay, killer.
Later in the summer. But
right on.
That's announced yet.
So. Yeah.
We have no idea.
Nothing.
And then other than
just
that...
a lot of writing.
Just write. Yeah, just write and make sure that we're ready to record an EP. Otherwise, you know, you end up in the studio and you get taken advantage of by your producer.
Yeah, that happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, last question. What's everyone's favorite color?
Oh, I was not expecting to be asked
Army
that question.
Green.
Oh,
Army green for
descriptive.
Sure.
Descriptive.
I'm going to say olive green.
Okay, so two greens.
Just green.
Wow. Liam's like a grass
so
green.
So Dubé likes their green is what I just figured out. All right.
Not just the color.
Thanks a lot for coming in, guys.
My pleasure, dude. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Heavy in Ottawa. From Ottawa's Real Rock. Revel 101.7.
This is Heavy in Ottawa. I'm Laura.
I'm James.
And we're going to be finishing off the podcast with some event listings for the next couple of weeks. What do we have?
Well, first up, April 19th, we've got Rarity, Romancer, and Letdown at Crest. Letdown is a punk rock band from Oshawa that now also features Zane Bean from Ottawa. They write some super catchy punk rock songs, and they're an amazing band live.
I would definitely recommend. I saw them at Tyler's benefit show, and they were awesome.
Yeah, they kill it. There may or may not be some house shows happening on 420, perhaps with Elementals and Big Lonely. Elementals are literally one of my favorite rock bands in Ottawa. They're also really good friends of mine. They write amazing songs with a ton of dynamic and emotion. I've been following them since their early days, and they've only gotten better and better.
And this is potentially at the Punk House?
This is at an undisclosed location.
Right.
Also on 420, we've got Cancer Bats, Dead Quiet, and Premonition, local hardcore band. Premonition features a bunch of scene veterans. I can't even begin to name all of the bands that those guys have been in because there's literally just too many to count. I've lost track.
This is at the 27 Club.
Yes, it is. And all I'll add on to that is Constraints Europe 2011. You're welcome, boys. April 25th, we've got Growing Fires, Certainty, and Sweet Tooth that will be at another undisclosed location. April 26th, we've got Red-Handed Denial, Abrade the Earth, Euphelion, and Skybound at Café de Cuff. That's a whole bunch of progressive rock and metal. It's going to be a good night. April 27th, we'll have a covers night featuring bands covering System of a Down, Deftones, Knocked, and Knocked Loose at Mavericks. And also on April 27th at Live on Elgin, we'll have Onion Face, No Mistakes in Space, and Air Shark. If you're not familiar with those bands, they're just a bunch of good old rock and roll.
All right, sounds like good times. I think everyone should check these bands out, give local bands some support. Who says Ottawa's boring?
Not me.
I'm Laura Collins.
I'm James Reed.
Thank you for listening to Heavy in Ottawa podcast, coming to you twice a month. We're going to finish off the show with Premonition and Savage Retribution.
Presented by Rebel 107.com.